Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Many a times, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, when leaving his home, used to hold his tongue and instruct the tongue, "You be careful." It is on account of your misdemeanors that the whole body gets into problems. So you be correct. You be straight. Quran Sharif says, "La taqfu ma laysa laka bihi ilm." The things that you have no knowledge about, then don't go behind them, don't pursue them. You don't have knowledge about it, then don't talk about it. And you don't comment about things that you don't have first-hand information. The wrongs go about in several ways. One way that the wrong goes about is you don't have the full information about some affair, some incident. You just have some information. You don't have the detailed information. You don't have the detailed information, then your fact is half a fact. Your fact is not a complete fact. When your fact is not a complete fact, then you will cause a confusion just now. So you don't have the full information about it, leave it out. In fact, it is for the protection of your own respect and integrity that you remain silent. You don't have complete details before you. You have something, and most of it is not in your knowledge. So when it's not in your knowledge, then what's the need for you to speak? Therefore, they say in Persian that a person is secure and he is respected until he doesn't speak. The moment he opens his tongue, now people size him up straight away. This is the person. So until you don't speak, you are quite safe, you are respected, and people are a little bit afraid of you, that you haven't spoken. But the moment you spoke, now they got a chance to size you up straight away. In the previous days, when India used to be ruled by kings, etc., so there was one person that was known perhaps for his knowledge or for his piety, whatever the case may have been. Right? Sometimes it happens that a person is pious, but he doesn't know all the masail pertaining to every subject. Or sometimes he's educated, but he's educated in one respect, he's not educated in the other. He may know hadith, but he may not know fiqh, for example. So there was such a person, he was well respected, everybody spoke about him. Like how sometimes you get an orator, he's very good in his speech, but he may not know the masail very well. People generally, they complicate things. When a person is a very good, profound speaker, then they will ask him the maslas. This is how people mistake. Previously also, and now also, in the time of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi, there was a good orator. So his mother used to be very much affected with his oration, with his speech. So she would ask him some masla and then instruct him that you see that orator must go and ask him first and then come and tell me. Now Imam Sahib Rahmatullah was such a humble person that he will go to that orator and tell him, "See, my mother wants to know this masla." And he would feel so ashamed and embarrassed. This is such a great person and he's coming to me. And he would say most of the time, Imam Sahib, I don't know the masla. So Imam Sahib would tell him, all right, this is the masla, but you say it so that I can tell my mother that I asked you. I won't be speaking a lie. I'll teach you, and after I have taught you, then you say the masla, and when you have said the masla, then I'll go and relate it to my mother. See? The obedience is there, the truth is there, the honesty is there. That was Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi. Allah Ta'ala given him such a memory, such a present mind. Mind was too good, too efficient. One person had a problem with his wife. So his wife says, they've got a problem, so she's not talking. They are that woman that when they get pulled up, then they won't talk. They won't talk at all. You try anything, but they're not going to talk. And sometimes the intention is just to fix the husband up, put him in his place. So when they do this type of thing, then they get the husband where they want him. See? And especially in this day, the man also doesn't have that amount of patience. And she's trying to spite him. So the husband got frustrated. In that frustration, he says to her that if you don't speak to her before Fijr Azan, then you have a 3 divorce, finish, khalas. Now he uttered the words, but he got scared after that. Hey, now what's going to happen after Fajr? And she is just refusing to speak. Now he says to himself, the only way out now, I tried to persuade her, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, winter's night. So the night is starting at about 6 o'clock. And she is just refusing to speak, not budging at all. So at length, he went to Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi, this is my problem. So I said, well, you just go and rest, I'll sort it out, inshallah. So now, nothing is happening, Imam Sahib is not doing anything. 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, this man is just watching. Just now, هَذَا فِرَاقُ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنِكَ. We're just to go on separate routes. Already 4 o'clock, and just 1.5 hour left for the Fajr Namaz time to start off. And she, you can see there's a smirk on the face. Hey, come on now, 1.5 hour left. It was just around 5 o'clock, and Imam Sahib rahmatullahi calls the azan. Around 5 o'clock, right? The moment she heard the azan, she said, yes, now I'm going, I'm gone. Now the man is still listening to the azan. Imam Sahib is stretching the azan nicely. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Man is listening to the azan. Then, when he's coming to As-salatu khayrun minan nawm, there's no As-salatu khayrun minan nawm. So he goes to the Imam Sahib. So what happens? No, I did call Fajr azan. I didn't call Fajr azan. You didn't hear me saying As-salatu khayrun minan nawm. But she spoke already, finished. Now the talaq is over, finished, do talaq. But you see the quick-wittedness. So sharp, so sharp. One person told his wife that if I speak first, if I want to speak first now, then you will be divorced. We're all types in the world, they do some strange things. I used to think only in the old days that they used to have this type of crackpots. Even now, you know, you don't get crackpots, you get cracked eggs now. First, we just pots, now it's eggs. You got some other egg full of problems you got. So one person says this, that if you don't, if I ever speak before you, then you are divorced, class. Wife must have spited him, so he had to take revenge. Now, she's coming from a very wealthy background. So she said, yes, you know what? And if I speak before you, then I've got so many slaves, all my slaves are freed. She got about 50 slaves, she got. One slave is about 100,000 rand. You can imagine, this multiply how much? How much is it? 5 million. So all my slaves are freed. Now they're getting ghabrat. They can't speak. If he's going to speak, she's divorced. And she's going to speak, her slaves are all freed. Whoever speaks first. So they went to Imam Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi, and this is the problem. Imam Sahib said to both of them, speak nicely, nothing has happened. So now they're getting worried, and the masla went to the ulama of the time. He says, how come Imam Sahib rahmatullahi allowed this? Whoever speaks first. How did he ever allow this? So the whole thing came back to Imam Sahib. How did you allow this? Say, all right, just ask him what he said. He said, whoever, if I speak first. And she said, if I speak first. So when the husband said, I speak first, then that was followed by the wife saying, if I speak first. So who spoke first? Okay. The wife spoke first, so there is no talaq. There is no talaq. So that wittedness, quick-wittedness. So when Allah Ta'ala wants to take some work from a person, Allah Ta'ala grants him that type of intelligence, that type of reasoning. Reasoning is too profound. He will show you the masla, and not only show you the masla, but as though Allah Ta'ala is inspiring Sa'd. Any problem, and we can show a solution. It's a tight fix. It's a tight fix now to show a way out. Now, that is this type of a person's work. Allah Ta'ala just opens his mind, and he's inspired. Generally, this happens with righteousness, virtue, taqwa, etc. And the Mawlana Sahib Rahmatullah says, whilst they were traveling by train, so they were a group of villages. These villages, also some of them, and they've got very beautiful minds. Perhaps they are righteous. See? Though they are simple, they don't have that gift of the gab. They're not so fluent in their speech and all that, right? But what they are talking about is they're making sense. They're making real sense of what they're saying. So it was the time of the League and the Congress. The battle is gone very, very severe. People are giving all, everybody's giving his own sixpence, he's giving his 2 cents, he's giving his 5 cents, everybody's giving their own opinion. Because both sides have got Muslims. And it's a question of the partition of India and Pakistan. Congress also has got Muslims, and the Muslim League also has got Muslims. And each one feels that this is going to be the solution for the Muslims. Congress feels that it's their party that's going to prevail, that will bring about a solution, and the other one thinks the same way. It's carrying on. Now, someone traveled in the Indian trains, you know, especially in the third class, without any berth and all that, the whole world's samachar will get it there. All the news will get it. Everybody will be saying, who the comments? They'll give you the news, and they'll give you the comments as well. So the one villager is saying, yeh sab rehne do bhai. Yeh tamam pareshaniyon ka hal yeh hai, ke nek ho jao aur ek ho jao. The solution to all the problem is just one. Become one and become righteous. Now, in one sentence, you are forced to think this is inspired. He's not his own. But in one word, he gave the whole deen. In one sentence, he gave the entire deen. وَعَتَسِيمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. Same thing. نَيْكْ هُو جَاوْ وَرْإِكْ هُو جَاوْ. Become righteous and become one. One other villager, Mawlana says, he says like this, Khuda ke haan bas itni baat hai, करो और लो, लो और करो, व्हाट, लो और करो, डू एंड टेक, डू एंड टेक, यू शुड जस्ट डू द वर्क एंड टेक द रिवॉर्ड. डू लेते रहो और करते रहो, व्हाट, लेते रहो और करते रहो, कैरी ऑन डूइंग एंड कैरी ऑन रिसीविंग, कैरी ऑन डूइंग एंड कैरी ऑन रिसीविंग. नाउ सी हाउ हाउ यू वर्ड इट, सो इंटेलिजेंट. So these people are inspired, though they are coming from that type of a background, but see the words of wisdom that are flowing from their tongues. One says, once I was in the toilet, you know, so I'm hearing two villagers speaking outside. So one villager is saying to the other villager that, you know, I cautioned that person so many times, he's doing this wrong, and I caution him, don't do it, don't do it. I cautioned him over 90 times. I've got it in my diary also. There's so many times I cautioned him. So now I'm not going to, I'm washing my hands. I'm not going to speak to him any longer. Finish. I'm not going to caution him at all. Now he must go his own way. So the other village is telling him, okay, by that person, he's not leaving out his wrong work. Then why are you leaving out your good work? Cautioning is Amar bil Ma'ruf, Nahi anil Munkar. Right? He is doing it wrong and he's persisting on his wrong. So he is not living out the wrong. Then why are you not, why are you living out your good work? See that advice. Isn't it a great advice? That he is not living out, he's persisting on his evil. Then why don't you persist on your good? You must persist on your good. Small snippets, small anecdotes, but there's so much of good, so much of wisdom in this simple people's words. That's why the hadith says that al-hikmatu dallatul mu'min, that this words of wisdom, they are the property of a Muslim. It's your property. You find it, you must take it. But don't say now, hey, this villager and he mentioned this, and what's the good in these words? If there's good in the word, person is outwardly not dressed very well. He doesn't seem to be a man of great reputation, and he doesn't seem to be very well attired. Now, don't look at his attire, and don't look at his reputation, that he's so popular, or he's not so well attired, so I can't take from him. Look at the merit. The man is pious, he's good in himself, and the words that he's talking about, is it making sense or not? So he's good in himself, and the words that he's saying, that's also great, then accept it. What's the reason for you not to accept? So we're talking about the tongue and the pitfalls of the tongue, what it can do, what it does to a person. So this verse of the Quran, La taqfu ma laysa laka bihi. You don't have the knowledge, then don't go behind it. Sometimes you get into a wrong discussion, but you don't have all sides of a problem. You just have one side of the problem and you're discussing it. You didn't understand it fully. One side you heard, and the side that you heard, you are discussing it. So sometimes you make a fool of yourself because people understand that you're talking nonsense, right? And sometimes your information is misleading, like it happens in these dailies, right? Newspapers, media, etc. So I feel in this regards, they are making about the greatest sin. Because it's, most of the time, it is just subjective reporting. It's selected, subjected. They got a certain agenda to push. And because they got that agenda to push, they will report accordingly. Whether it is the full fact or it's half a fact, they're not worried about it. So, why do they do that? They do that for two reasons. One is, they have to look towards their seniors, the one that is paying them. Who pays the piper calls the tune. Right? Who's paying the piper? Who's paying this journalist? Someone is paying him. So whoever is paying him, he has to blend to his tune. He has to adjust to his tune. So it happens repeatedly, it happens. South Africa, there was a top journalist doing a very good job, right? Black man was doing a very good job. And he's saying things as they were, right? Now it was going against the agenda of some people, whoever it was. Like I say, there's a third force everywhere. So it was going against someone. So the third force bought him off, took him to another country, doubled his salary. And now you don't speak about politics and all that, speak about sports class. End of the chapter. See how they finished him up. So the man was talking the truth, he was talking right, he was making sense. But then it was too much for them. So that was their wrong. And his wrong is that seemed to be more attractive, you see, more lucrative. I'm getting 1,000 rands here, getting 1,000 pounds there. Yeah? There's 1,000 rands, and there's 1,000 pounds. So what's the nisbat? This thing here doesn't match with this at all, what I'm getting, what I'm being offered, you see. So how to help the person? Unfortunately, this is what happens to this circular studies when it's not supported with any deen. When not supported with a strong deeny background, then anybody can buy you off. They will just adjust some things in you and then they can buy you off. Deen is not the primary concern. It's that financial, it's that commercial value that you're looking at, how much more I can gain. And then you, to appease your mind, you'll just say, sorry, I'll make Tawbah, Allah Ta'ala forgive, khalas. Let me carry on now. You know, today's 21st century now. And can't be so strict. How are you going to live? If you're not going to do this thing, how are you going to live? So your mind will play games with you, and you'll go for that money. So sometimes it is not a full fact, it is a half a fact. And you're giving a half a fact. And a half a fact, in most cases, can be more dangerous than a full fact. Just a simple example. So say the dailies want to run down someone. You know, they want to run down someone. Yeah, he was viewed in a very, very compromising position. He was in an awkward position with a woman. They will show the photo of that woman, perhaps from the back somewhere. You can't see the woman fully, right? In the meanwhile, it could have been his own wife. But now, the impression that is gone, what is the impression? This person is a womanizer. But how they will report it? They will report it differently. Just to run the person down, this is what they will do. See? So what games they can play through this media? I'm just showing one, two examples. They don't have to be. But the media and what it does. Now, the sin doesn't end up there. The sin carries on. See? They started the sin off. This whole guna machine, they started it off. Then you are the consumer. When you are the consumer, then you're going to be swallowing all their spit, all their food, you're going to be swallowing it. Right? When you're swallowing it, then you're discussing, yeah, but you know, but this person, I couldn't believe, man. I can't believe that he did something like this. You're talking about it to the next person is speaking about it to the third person. Yeah, but on the walima table, then it's nice to talk about someone else's integrity. It doesn't involve me or my family, someone else, what he was doing and how he was conducting himself. So it doesn't involve my integrity, my respect, my family. It's involving that person. So you're talking about it in the walima table. So what has happened? You become a gossip monger. And you're carrying on the story. I'm just showing one example. But how many of these incidents do take place? And they all start off from the media. We just heard they mastered the game of half effect. Because, like I say, their business, you know, what is their business? وَتَجْعَلُونَ رِزْقَكُمْ أَنَّكُمْ تُكَذِّبُونَ They made their business, what they made their business? Lies. تَجْعَلُونَ رِزْقَكُمْ أَنَّكُمْ تُكَذِّبُونَ They've made their business lies, to sell lies. Because, see, every business, they have to market their product for that thing to sell. Coca-Cola, it has to be marketed for that thing to sell. Colgate, it has to be marketed for that thing to be selling, right? You have to advertise it, show it, whatever, then that thing sells. So Coca-Cola, what do they market? They market a soft drink, so they have to prepare that thing. Colgate, what they market? A toothpaste, so they have to market it, advertise it. The media, what it markets? News. So that news has to be fabricated, made up, polished, nice, glossy looking, right? So that is their business. If they don't polish it up, they don't glossy, they don't gloss it, and they don't polish it up like that, you think it's going to sell? It's not going to sell. No one will sell them. How are they going to run their business? So they have to gloss that business. They have to gloss that product of this for them to be remaining in business. Sometimes they do it for the business. And sometimes there is a third force behind the whole thing. Right? There's someone behind the scenes that is calling the shots. This is what you must say, what you must not say. It's their bosses, whoever their bosses may be. So they are telling them what to do. Right? Now, if you listen to your boss, then you are... So you remain on the payroll. And if you're not listening to your boss then they will look for ways to push you away. Insubordination. How easy to say insubordinate you are. So then slowly they'll work you out of the whole system, they'll work you off. So you have to be listening to them all the time. So you see these lies and how the lies work. And then the lies are connected to what? To the tongue. This evil, where is it connected to? It's connected to the tongue. Now, it's such a serious thing. In that hadith of Mi'raj, and this hadith is spoken about, the same thing about the tongue, where a person was seen and his whole jaw was being slit. From here, right to here, it's being slit. Whole jaw slit. Speaking lies, and that lies is getting broadcast throughout the world. So who does the hadith apply to? To a journalist, a person that is carrying information, passing on news. He's got the news and he's passing it on. So his whole jaw is being split right from the lips, right to the jaw, right to the bottom. Everything is being slit. And then we, like the consumers, we don't think much about it. We're talking about it, we're discussing it on the walima tables to our friends, over the phones, etc. And we don't think anything about it. But in the meanwhile, it doesn't only refer to media, it refers to this WhatsApp group as well. You are now a member of a WhatsApp group. Right? When you are a member of that WhatsApp group, so you say, what's wrong in that? So then in that circle, there are many people that are not scrupulous. They are just putting in some information, whether it's someone's respect, someone's integrity, whatever it is, but some information just to cheer and entertain the circle. So you're contributing. When you're contributing, the next person is reading. When he's reading, then he comes a party to this whole ghibat, comes a party to the whole gossip. I think for the second time now, the Imam Sahib in Maghrib or in Witr, وَيْرَ لِكُلِّ هُمَزَةٍ لُمَزَةٍ, the one that slanders, and the person that is engaged in ghibat. Humaza, lumaza, the one that slanders, and the one that carries ghibat. See? So the Quran is promising destruction for him. That they'll be in the fire. Narullahi lati tattali'u ala al-af'ida. It's such a fire for this type of people who make ghibat, slander, false accusations, etc. You know, you're talking of half a fact. So that fire, tattali'u ala al-afida, it will go right to the heart. See, the heart is the seat of perception, right? So the heart feels most. The pain that the heart goes through, the entire body doesn't go through that amount of pain. So this fire is such, it mounts up to the heart straight. It hits the heart straight. It's so powerful, you know, it as though it pierces your whole chest and gets into your heart straight. Tattaliyu al afida. So you see where this thing starts off from. Sometimes it is half a fact. Sometimes it is someone's agenda that you are, you know, it's that person's agenda and you have to carry out his agenda. See that? Because you're in the payroll. You're in the payroll, you have to carry out his agenda. So the tongue and the disaster of the tongue. What problems the tongue brings about? So sometimes it is this type of a game. Sometimes it is that I want to defame someone. Right? When I want to defame someone, then I have to use you to defame that person. So you falling under my agenda. And you don't realize that you're falling under my agenda. But because you're on the payroll, so you have to go and defame that person so that I keep you on my payroll. Therefore, the hadith says that those people who have believed, right, and the iman has not yet settled in their hearts, then لا تتبعوا أورات المؤمنين. They mustn't look out for the faults of the believers. They mustn't لا تغضبوا. They mustn't make ghibat and don't look out for their faults. Don't make ghibat, but by the same token, then don't look out for their faults as well. Because if you're going to be looking out for the faults of the Muslims and the believers, then Allah Ta'ala will disgrace you. He will embarrass you right, whilst you're right in the midst of your house, right within your house, and he'll bring disgrace to you. You don't know where that thing came and it struck you. And it'll come and strike you at the time that you least expected. You don't expect it to happen, it'll come and strike you. So don't carry tales, and by the same token, don't look for the faults of people. It may be a genuine thing what you were talking about, that that person is at fault, right? But you didn't have to go and look out for his faults. It was between him and Allah Ta'ala. He did a wrong now or in the past. For example, there was a person, now he changed his life. But in his past, he had a past. He had a past. He was a child, youngster, teenager. He did something wrong. Now that he's grown up, he's left all those things. He's coming a little bit on the right. But then, what warrants you to speak about his past? It was between him and Allah Ta'ala. He didn't rob you, he didn't cheat you, he didn't do anything to you. Why must you talk about his past? We find that pleasure in running someone down. You know, it's so rewarding to conceal the fault of the person. He says it. And when you conceal that person's fault, then Allah Ta'ala will conceal your fault on the day of Qiyamah. And who can say that he doesn't have a fault? If they were to check you with an iron comb, you're very fine, then all of us will have faults. Big mistakes, small mistakes, but all of us will have faults. But then it's so rewarding just to block that person's fault, conceal that person's mistake, don't talk about it. Abu Zughaluddin is very particular about this. Hazrat Qasim Nanutwi Rahmatullahi was the founder of Darul Deoband. So, he had come to Delhi on one occasion with Amir Shah Khan Sahib and Maulana Ahmad Hassan Amrohi, that was his student. So they had to be staying there for 3-4 days, they booked in some inn or something. And they got a bed right for Maulana, obviously the Ustad, and they thought now for his space, let him be a little bit away, and we'll lie down on another place, another section. So Maulana Ahmad Hassan is discussing with Amir Shah Khan Sahib as to where we're going to perform the Fajr Namaz the following morning. So Amir Shah Khan Sahib says, you know that certain masjid, because Delhi is a big place, thousands of masjids, literally over a thousand masjids in Delhi town only. So you know that one masjid, the Imam Sahib is too beautiful. We'll go and read our Fajr Namaz there. Maulana Ahmad Hassan is saying, wo jahil pathan, hum unke piche hargis namaz nahi padhenge. Hamare ulama-e kiram ko kafir batata hai. To hum kahin kabhi unke paas, unke masjid mein nahi jayenge, namaz nahi padhenge. That jahil, we'll go and perform our namaz behind him. He declares our ulama as kafirs. And even when Qasim Sahib Rahmatullah, he speaks about him and he says that he's a kafir. So how can we ever go and perform namaz behind him? And when Qasim Sahib Rahmatullah, he is seated a little bit at a distance. So he overhears the discussion. And when he overhears the discussion, so he says to his student, Maulana Ahmad Hassan, تم خود جاہل ہو اور دوسرے کو جاہل بتاتے ہو. You are jahil and you're showing someone else as a jahil. میں تو اس کا معتقد ہو. I have got a deep respect for that imam. And the reason why I've got a deep respect for that imam is perhaps this type of an information had reached him that we are speaking things that are not in keeping with dini standards. So he was discharging his duty, because this is the news that reached him. Okay, we're speaking about things that are not in keeping with dini standards. So it was a duty for him to speak. Now, whether we are indulging in things that are irreligious or not, that's a different thing. Or perhaps, now see, Mullah is covering up for him. Perhaps this was the report that reached him. So the sin is not his, the sin is the sin of the reporters. Whoever reported this information to him, then it is his sin. He was just discharging his duty. Therefore, I've got a lot of respect for him that he heard something that was irreligious and he spoke about it. And then the third statement Mullah makes, no, because I've got so much of respect and I've got so much of faith in him, tomorrow Fajr Namaz we're going to read behind him. See, you know, how these Buzurganadin, how ulama, how they've seen things. How would we have reasoned and how do they think? That is why I was speaking about Mawlana's that khutbah, in the khutbah he's got it, you know. He says, Qisasul Hikayat, Hikayatul Ulama, wa Mahasinum, Ahabu Ilayya, min Kasratil Fiqh. What? Hikayatul Ulama, quotation of Imam Bukhari, Rahmatullahi. Hikayatul Ulama, wa Mahasinum, Ahabu Ilayya, min Kasratil Fiqh. فإن فيها آداب القوم و فإن فيها آداب القوم وأخلاقهم. Mawlana Farah Abdullah says that in my sight, right, the stories of these awliya, ulama, pious people of the past, right, these stories of these pious people, ulama, etc., are more dear to me, right, their stories and their good achievements, you know, what good mannerisms, good values they had. So their good values and their stories are more dear to me. They are more dear to me than just learning a lot of fiqhi riwayats, you know, this masla, this masla. One is the person who knows a lot of their ways, their mannerisms, their stories and their values. So to me, this is better. And that person was just piling up rulings, right? Maslahat is rulings, right? Now you got, one is the necessary ruling. The necessary ruling you need to have. But beyond the level of necessity, and you just made this your business, that you need to know rulings and rulings. So you're not worried about character developing, etc., values, learning and progressing, you're not worried about that. And this is a person who's acquired the necessary rulings that is required for him or his wife and children, the necessary, he's got that much. Now, after acquiring the necessary rulings for himself, his wife and children, his immediate folks, then he is progressing in what? Hikayatul ulama wa mahasinuhum. Their stories, their values, their ways, their mannerisms, their interaction, how they conducted themselves, pious, learned people, how they conducted themselves. Why? فَإِنَّ فِيهَا أَدَابُ الْقَوْمُ وَأَخْلَاقُمْ. Because the real etiquette and real character comes from there. Character, etiquette, ways, mannerisms comes in these people. Otherwise now, we will just use this masail and these rulings just to label people sometime, and sometime just to show that we are more smart, and sometime just that I've got more ammunition, I can bulldoze you with my information. So I got that information to what? For what? So that with that information, I can smash you down. Yeah, that's what I eat, doing all haram, eating haram, all haram, these people. So I gather that information for what? To go and destroy other people. And the one that is now, as though he's the founder of fiqh, you know, after the Sahaba Ikram, the one that was the leader of the fiqh, what he's saying, he says, go and learn these people's ways, their mannerisms, their character, their beautiful example, their values, go and learn that. That is dearer to me than just multiplying your understanding and ruling, etc. So this profound statement is by the Imam of Fiqh. Is not just an ordinary person. The Imam of Fiqh, he's making this type of a statement. So it's a very, very serious statement that where should we be investing our time? In what should we be investing our time? In our ways, our mannerisms, our character, our honesty, our good dealings, respect, etc. Now these are the things we need to be investing our times. Right? So we're talking about the tongue. And I explained that Allah Pak likes this. As the Shaykh al-Hadith, Muhammad Zakariya Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi, he was invited by one constable, a constable, a senior person in the police. He's invited him. So Mullah knows that he knows the person personally, and he knows that these people, their income is through balai amdani, with greasing the palm. Like how you get the speed polices, right? So if they're earning 1,000 rand, say in a week, then 5,000 rand with the other money for coke. The money for coke is 5,000, and that what they're getting in the hand is 1,000. Two women are discussing their husband, you know, their husbands. Women, they got nothing to do. Then they discuss the husband. My husband is like this now. So the one is asking the other, okay, how's your husband's business and all that? He said, well, the salary that he's getting is a little bit less, but mashallah, balai amdani to bahut khub hai. But what I'm getting as a salary is very limited, what he's getting, but that bribery and all that is too much. So mashallah, it's too much. Now, where she's putting the mashallah? For the haram. See that? The word mashallah, where she's attaching it? To the haram. So, the Shaykh Rahmatullah knows this. He knows the person personally, right? And he knows that he's involved in all this. And this is the person that he's inviting him. So his income is based around haram. When his income is based around haram, then how can you accept his invitation? Like someone is selling liquor, right? And he invites you. Can you go to his place? Right? He's got the brothel, right? And he's invited you. Can you go to his place? He's living, his whole livelihood is based on haram. So when it's based on haram, or he's got a piggery now, he's selling pigs, right? And his whole livelihood is around selling pigs. He's inviting you to his piggery to come and have a meal. Halal, sanha approved. You got to go there. Why are you not going to go there? So the same with any other haram is the same. But our brains only work if we say piggery. If you say insurance, bank and all that, doesn't work. He's working in a bank, it doesn't work. Insurance, it doesn't work. He's in a bottle store, so our brain doesn't work, it works half there. But you say piggery, there it works. There it works full. Okay, he's got a piggery, at the piggery farm, he's calling you for a bribe. And all sanha approved. It's permissible. The man won't ask any mufti, say, hey, can't go. How can you go there to a piggery? Straight away, you don't have to go to a mufti. So anyway, the Shaykh knows the person's background. He doesn't want to disgrace him, doesn't want to embarrass him. So he just excuses himself, I won't be able to make it, you know. Now the person knows, okay, why the Shaykh is refusing to accept the da'wat. So he said, now what's the best way to corner him, to get him to come to my house? So he went up to his ustad and sheikh. His ustad is Mawlana Khalil Ahmad Sahib. Has I got a function at my place, walima or something, so I'm going to extend an invitation. Alright? The ustad doesn't know that this is what goes on in the house. He doesn't know about this person's business. So as a Muslim, he's extended a warm invitation, then it's your duty to accept the invitation. So as I accepted the invitation, when he accepted the invitation, so this constable says, he says, that is the ustad, He says, "Oh, Zara, Mauli Zakira could be Satli Ana. You're coming along, and you must call, you must bring the Sheikh also, Chacha Bodacha." Now the Sheikh knows that this is what goes on, right? So his Ustad is telling him, you know, there's an invitation there, tomorrow we're going there. Now Sheikh thinks to himself that if I'm going to say to my Ustad, okay, what this person does, I'm exposing this person. Right? I'm exposing the person. Although he's no Ustad, but I'm exposing him. And if I'm going to attend, then I'm going to eat something that is not permissible. So he said, no, that concealing that person's fault is greater. The greater act in my sight is to conceal the Muslim's fault. Right? We would have seen it totally different. But what he's saying, that to conceal the Muslim's fault in my sight is even a greater deed. That's why I'm saying, فِيهِ أَدَابُ الْقَوْمِ وَأَخْلَاقُمْ. You listen to these stories of these great pious people, that is where you're going to get character building. That's where you're going to get the true understanding. See, now, there's a confrontation. On one side is this person's haram, right? Earnings. And then on the other side is to conceal his fault. Now, when there's a clash between the both, what do you do? Well, the Sheikh said, I didn't tell my Sheikh anything. Because I think to myself that I don't want to expose this person. But now it's haram there. What am I to do? So I went and had the meals. But immediately I came out and I put my finger deep into my throat and I vomited everything out. Right? I vomited it out so that I don't get affected by the haram. Right? But you see, until we don't see these pious people, lama, righteous ulama, buzuganadin, mashayikh, we can't reason correctly, we can't understand, we can't see things correctly. Now that we see them, alright, this is what they did. There was a situation, and how did he handle the situation? How did he conduct himself in the situation? Now it's a way for you. He's opened up a way for you. How to live amongst people, how to socialize amongst people, how to preserve your own taqwa and righteousness, but by the same token, how to live with people as well. How do we respect people's their integrity, their feelings, etc. How do we respect them? Allah Ta'ala tawfiq nasib.